Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You too could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.
You're jamming with, the Unstoppable.
One love. One heart, let's get together and feel alright.
Hear the children crying.
One love.
Hear the children crying.
One heart,
saying, give thanks and praise to the Lord, and I will feel alright. Saying,
let's get together and feel alright.
Oh, 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 oh. Let them help us all their dirty remarks. I'd really love to ask, is there a place for the hopeless sinners who has
what's up, y'all? Mankind. It's your girl, La Chica, coming at you live and direct from the 6. On today's show, I'll be featuring one of Toronto's unstoppable entertainers. And guess what? I just actually said his brand. I am pleased to welcome DJ Navi Rai, everyone. Welcome, Navi. Welcome.
Thank you, my dear. Thank you for having us.
Now, first off, I'd like to say thank you, Navi, for being part of my show. I'm really looking forward for our listeners to get to know you better and learn more about your years of experience in the industry. So welcome.
Yeah. Thank you. It's always an honor to be to any media source, and you know, you have our full support.
Appreciate it. Well, Navi, let's get started. Tell us, what exactly do you do?
So I'm full-time. I'm educated as a third-level CGA. Okay. Canada doesn't have that title anymore. It's called CPA, which is a certified general accountant or certified professional accountant. So that's always been my passion since young, growing up. And I'm from a family of accountants. So it just kind of merged into the blood. And you know, being a guy that don't drink or don't smoke, you know, it came that education, and then I had to do something. So, boom, here comes music.
Okay.
Yeah. So I know, like, for me, I've always been a music collector since my childhood. Mm-hmm. Whether it used to be like records or cassette tapes. Yeah. I actually got into the music industry midway when I was going to college before I head out to university. I never took like student loans, like, you know, how some people have loans and then they go to school. Instead, right. I worked like literally 2 part-time jobs, and I had various part-time jobs, and I always had to have 2 just to afford to pay my schooling, my books. I had a brand new car. I needed a car to travel. It was like a Pontiac Sunbird. Anybody remember?
Wow.
And then, you know, to pay insurance and gas and to continue having that music collection, be it records or tape, that was a cost too. And I finally got to the point where I said, you know, I have so much music. Why not take this music and try my hand at DJing and start knocking on doors to get this opportunity so I can get like a second source of income. So that money was not meant for pocket money. That money was meant to go back into continuing collecting music.
Okay.
So, and this is like, we're going back 25 years ago this March.
Wow.
Yes. And I remember in the month of March, I went to, it's a place called The Palace, but it's gone now. It's in Scarborough, in Toronto. And it's Highway 401 in Midland on the south side. And there was an owner called Rudy Can. He also owned Chinaman's restaurant, which is a Guyanese restaurant.
Okay.
And he said, hey, you know what? Come back, kid. I'll try you out. And I went a Friday night, it was dead, tried me out. And then I went and I DJed that, he was happy. So he kept me there, but then I wanted to not just do one night, I wanted to branch off. So the place in those days, 25 years ago, where majority of West Indian clubs were, was in the West End. Yeah, the connections and the huts.
Oh,
and all.
Okay.
So I went out there, and then what happened was it became where I'm in the East on a Friday, I'm in the West on a Saturday, and I was doing so well with bookings where even on like a long weekend, I'd get booked like a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. This is all clubs. Wow. And then what happened is it was hard to kind of work on the weekend because then you're going out and buying records in the day, then on the Saturday or the Friday, and then you have it ready because, you know, that's how tunes came out on records. Right. And then when I got to the point where I was like, wait, when I make a weekend a DJing, a Friday and a Saturday, it would take me a whole month to work two part-time jobs. So I kind of got rid of the part-time jobs and I DJed on the weekend. And then during the week, I only focus on school. So get up, go to school, come home and study. Because when I used to get up, go to school, and then come home after working and after school, you're mentally drained. You can't really study. So then, you know, it got good. And then I got into doing private gigs. And then I got into doing charities, so like temples and food drives. And that's how, like, it got to the point where it was so much that I said, oh, my God, this is, like, it's not stopping. And that's how the name Unstoppable Entertainment came up.
Ah.
And then, yeah, because I was so busy, like, believe me. And, yeah, and, you know, I always took the pride and I never wanted to be like a one genre DJ. So because I was playing all types of music for all types of people, it was a blessing. And I always play clean music. I don't have any kind of vulgarity in anything. I'll play the radio edits or I just won't play it at all, you know. So, you know, over the years, I've kind of kept with that formula and not limiting myself, but just playing for everything. So I know. And it fell into how it did, and I went with it and just kept going. And yeah, now here it is, 25 years now.
Wow. And now with Unstoppable Entertainment, it's not just DJing that you do. You are the one-stop shop, the full package service. Tell our listeners about that.
Over the years, after starting to DJ, I got approached by other people because I got in to start working with other DJs, and the first guy was Apache Disco, a good friend of mine, Andy Ramcharan. And with Andy, we started, he's the first person that said, Nav, why are you playing for a small amount of money? Do your own party and you collect the door, you can make X more. And I was very, very, you know, new venture, you're scared because not like DJing, you go, you get paid and you come home. So then I started, my first event was with him and we did well. And then I said, you know, let me start trying it. And how do I evolve into doing different events? Like, how do I support younger DJs, like all age DJs, and working with them? And how do I work with the bigger guys at that time? And then from there, it became DJ, promoter. And then to stay alive, you know, you had to have some radio presence. So I remember I used to be on 89.5. It's Dantal Radio with a guy named Riaz Batch. And it was like the only West Indian show on a Saturday night. And there is nothing now presently. But that's what made it popular. Because people who weren't like party people but still want to hear West Indian music, they would go on to the show and listen to 89.5. And then, you know, from then, I went on in the early 2000s. I got accepted into Flow 93.5 when they started.
Okay.
But I got, a lot of people don't know that, but I didn't get accepted as one of the Flow DJs. I got accepted on their first ever live to air, which is a place called Tequila Lounge at Bathurst and Bloor opposite the legendary Honest Ed's, building across. So yeah. So I used to basically play soca music, prime time, live to air, clean edits, obviously. And they used to broadcast from 10 to 1. So at about 11:30, 12 was my time slot for half an hour.
Yeah.
And I was there for, I think, like 6 months to a year until they went through a different management. And then I went off and I said, you know, radio was good. Internet was coming up, internet radio. And that's when I started the website Unstoppable Radio.
Okay.
And I started doing shows on Unstoppable Radio. And then I found when Facebook came out, the problem with putting shows on a website, you don't get to interact with your clientele and your listeners. Mm-hmm. And when Facebook came out, I wanted that interaction. I wanted to be able to shout out to people. And, you know, somebody puts in the chat box, it's my son's birthday, tell him happy birthday. I wanted that interaction. So right. We started Unstoppable Sundays. Me and my son, Unstoppable Jr., we started that on Sunday, October 30th, 2016. Today I was looking at all my dates. And the first show, I was surprised. I never knew it was so effective. I was actually today I looked at the stats and it has over 14,000 people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was blown away with it said 14,000 people reached. But then Facebook got different because they started clamping down the whole copyrights.
Yes.
So, yeah. And the webs and then technology changed with websites being more smart device compatible. And that website was kind of built in Flash and the older technology.
Okay.
So now we kind of pulled it offline for a bit. And I have a young man, actually he's not that young, but he's working on it to make it now a cleaner, fresher design. And it's more compatible for all smart devices, tablets, phones, you know, iPads, laptop, desktop. So we also went to SoCan Canada. They're the people that anytime you do copyrighted music,
okay,
you have to, it's like pay them a royalty fee. So you can broadcast copyrighted music. And we're also a part of the Sony and BMG record pool called Spinners. So our music is basically anything we play that is top 40 commercial. It comes out of Sony BMG, and that's our subscription. It's like basically having a DJ license without not having
right.
a DJ license. So we pay the Sony BMG, and now anything we put online, SoCan will get paid those fees so that those fees can go to the music composers. Let me be very clear.
Right, right.
So it's quite a learning curve and an education, you know? So radio has, I've always wanted that outreach. Because I mean, you know, you say, hey, that's a good mix, but hey, where can I hear something similar? Oh, okay, here's the radio show, or here's what it is. But putting it stuff online, you want to do it legally and you want to do it properly. You just don't want to put it out there and violate any copyrights. It's very important.
Right.
And I take that very seriously because, yeah.
Okay. Now, from club events to semi-formal events to one of the best boat rides we have here in the Six, Carnival on the Lake over the Caravana season, sold out event every year, something that we always look forward to. You throw some wicked events, Navi, and I know this because I've been going to them for many, many years now. Tell us about some of your best events and what makes them so good.
The only thing for, like, say something like Guyanese Independence was a big festival at Lamoureux Community Center in Scarborough. But there was nothing after. You go to the festival, you go in with your family. So I'm like, wait a minute, we're Guyanese. We listen to all types of music. Like, we're West right. Indian. Shouldn't there be a party? And like 2-3 years, I went to this thing and it was pretty blah. And then I begged the council general to let me DJ outside. And he's like, okay. And then that turned into this big outdoor lime. If you've ever been to Lamoureux, right?
No.
Yes. I kind of begged them. I said, it was Jeffrey De Silva. I said, can I just, because I wanted some promotion. I wanted to build my brand, build my name. I said, listen, you don't have to pay me. I'll bring my own speakers and everything. I'll do it. And then afterwards I found people were like, they come up to you when you're playing and it ended like 9 o'clock and they're like, hey, where's the party? Where's the after party? I'm like, what? So then a few years later, I started a Guyanese Independence after party.
Okay.
And I had the Council of Blessings. I just didn't go out and do it randomly because I was always a volunteer to them. So I said, let me just do something back. They're like, cool. And, you know, there's some people that work, so they couldn't go out to the festival in line with their friends and family. So there's an after party. You have that opportunity. And it was a really good vibe. And then I found, like, I always try to look at, I think in society sometimes, I always try to look at where is there a need. I found something. There was not even a Trinidadian festival or anything at that time. There was Caravana, but I'm saying for Trini Independence, there was nothing. And here I am, a Guyanese. I put together some really old DJs like Enforcers and like a lot of the older Soca DJs and Brother Jay and all these old guys who are not even in the DJ scene anymore. And okay. I did a Trini Independence party. And it was just to be fair to say, if you do one, you do the other. And from there, I mean, after being on radio and doing that, I said, you know, when I left Flo, because it was just a contract position, like I said, new management in the club. When I left it, I started Unstoppable Fridays at Sandals. Don't know if you ever went to Sandals.
No.
Hey. See? And you know what? It was the longest West Indian Friday night party. Okay. It was a small place, like 150 people. They had a patio. But people used to come from all over because it wasn't like nowadays where there's so many places doing so many parties.
Right.
There's like the spots, right? And that was like the spot for Scarborough. And okay. then I started doing that. And that lasted for 7 years. And they're wow. there every Friday night religiously.
Wow.
And you know, I mean, moving forward, I kind of noticed, speaking of gaps, I noticed, let's be honest, you being a female and to all the females, that Mother's Day is a very big spectacle, right?
Right.
But when you compare it to Father's Day is not as big as Mother's Day. So I looked at it and seeing my dad getting older, I'm getting older, my son's now growing up. I said, you know, we always go to Mother's Day concerts, but there was nothing to do for Father's Day.
That's you know, true.
Yeah, you get the odd meal. Here's a pack of socks. Here's some clothes. And that's Father's
that's
Day.
It. Happy Father's Day.
Yeah, there was nothing to do. There was no concert. There was
no,
nothing. So I didn't want to go too big. I got a small boat, Pioneer Princess. And in June 14th of 2014, I started, it was an afternoon to evening cruise. It went from 7 to 11.
Okay.
And I had a small boat called Pioneer Princess. Really nervous because I didn't know what the feedback would be, but it was a family event. Mm-hmm. And what made this boat unique is that they tour along the harbor. In the afternoon, you're seeing, and then they go to the island airport, and they turn and they go through and into the channels of the Toronto Islands.
Those are so beautiful. Yes.
You get to see the botanical gardens. You get to see the docks. You get to see all the other marinas. There's so many things on the island and the parks and the landscape. Yep. Beautiful. And then because it's like 7 to 11, the sunset starts going down and then you get that view. So when we come out of the islands by 9:30, you're now seeing the Toronto Harbor and that beautiful night skyline.
Yes.
Beautiful. So, I mean, we have a Facebook group that's called Father's Day Family Boat Cruise. And you go see all the photos and some videos there. And then afterwards, I was saying, okay, this worked. Most of the times when we go to shows in the summer, it's outside in a park or in the winter, it's indoors. And I was looking at it and saying, what if we took these same concerts that we go to and put it on a boat and take it out to the lake? And that's how it came, because I wanted to take the same shows that we see in a banquet hall, the same shows we see in a park, take the stage, take the everything, get food, and put a stage on a boat.
Right.
And I found that boat. It's a Louisiana-style boat, River Gambler.
Yep.
And I started it, and it was the first band that I ever added on it was Raymond and Delina Dan,
yep.
Raymond Ram Narayan. I had a Tassa band myself and dinner, right? I always have food on my cruises, and it's served food, not box food. And, you know, we did a stage and so, and over the next year, I brought in KI when KI won for Single Forever. And then the next year after that, it was them two again. And then finally, I brought on all three, Ravi, Raymond, KI. And people were like, every year it started growing, and then the stage production evolved. Now we have TV screens. I mean, you've been on it. We've had TV screens. We've got a bigger stage. We've got a backdrop with lighting. It become now a full production. Is like this year would have been 10 years in 2020.
Oh, no.
Yes. Oh. Yeah. So 25 years to me DJing and being in the business and 10 years for Carnival on the Lake.
Wow.
And I mean, we've had more so the Soca Chutney market, and we've stage dancers, the artists I've mentioned. I'm the first guy to put a fire breather on top of the boat.
Yes.
Yeah. Were you there for that?
Yeah. That was my first boat cruise here in Toronto, West Indian boat cruise. And I couldn't even believe what I was seeing. First of all, with the Tassa playing, because it's my cousins who play the Tassa, Shammy and those guys.
Yeah.
And the ground was shaking because of the Tassa just going through. And then fire breathers. I literally felt like I was in a different, like Miami or something. I did not feel I was here in Toronto for this.
Yeah, it's, you know, and once again, like I said, I don't compete with anybody. I just look for gaps and shortfalls. Right. And I say, how can I do this? How can I try? Right. And I mean, if anybody hasn't seen that, they can go on YouTube. There's a Carnival on the Lake channel. And there's a Facebook group called Carnival on the Lake too. So anything that I've said, you can see it. And I mean, the food,
okay.
same thing with food. We don't do box food. We do serve food. So whichever our caterer is, whoever we choose, we always have servers serving food, sometimes two lines. And I mean, I'm a big fan of samosa and doubles. And then, you know, I do things like be considerate. Like some people halal meat.
Right.
And then there's vegetarians that we have vegetarian section too. But you know, I'm very thankful every year it sells out.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you know, one thing I have to also mention, guys, if you're not familiar with the West Indian boat cruises, Navi's menu, it's a buffet.
It is.
It always has so much food that, you know, you don't typically see with other cruises. Other cruises, it's very standardized menu with maximum 4 or 5 items at most. But with Navi's cruise, it's a complete buffet, and the food is always over the top delicious, hands down.
Thank you. Yep. The biggest complaint we have with the food is at the end of the night, we have food left over. We beg people to take food home.
Yep, it's true. I mean, not only, guys, do you have a delicious buffet meal, you get food to go. When you're finished from the party, food to go home. Like, I mean, it does not get better than that, honestly.
Yeah, it's no fun when you're tired and you got to pack food back to bring home. Like, I remember the first cruise, we brought home like 5 trays of food. And
oh,
I was
my
like,
gosh.
I don't have space for 5 trays in my fridge, but we had to make this. Thank God we had 2 fridges. But some people are also, I mean, it's included in their ticket, but some people say, hey, I don't want to eat. I'm just here for the hang.
Yeah.
No, take it and go.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Well, on that same note, what is your favorite aspects of planning events and why?
You know, from our boat cruises to our indoor and outdoor other events that we do, give them a taste of back home, right?
Okay.
Give them that. And I try to go cultural, like even in the food, of course, the music, the artists, even like we're talking about the fire breather, like everything that we do, we try to have some, give them that Caribbean experience, that food, culture, music. Those are my 3 aspects of, you know, and I mean, once again, we're limited to, because of the weather, we're limited to how much of this we can get it. So when we get it, trying to make the best of it, you know?
For sure. Yeah. Now, what gives you the most satisfaction about doing these types of events?
The satisfaction of knowing that, as I mentioned earlier, there's a gap. I can fill that gap. And, you know, just trying to give back something to the community. Mm-hmm. And believe me, these things are not cheap. They cost.
Of course.
But if I know I can make a difference and give back something to our community that, like, I've had some, like, the Father's Day cruise, for an example, I've had some younger children, and their parents say, this is my daughter's first boat cruise, or, oh, it's my daughter's birthday or my son's birthday.
Yep.
That's a memory that resonates with you on and on. the memories you mentioned and the memories I've seen with my nephew and other people that I have another young lady that comes every year to celebrate her birthday, and she brings her whole family.
Mm.
You know, that's for me, that's a satisfaction.
At the end of the day, like I said earlier, it's one of those things that we look forward to now every year. Caravana weekend, we know the biggest cruise is hitting the water, and it's always an amazing time. And I mean, that's the memory that I've always had, the memory that I've always had from day one. So now, on the negative side of things, COVID has caused major havoc in our world. And I mean, the entertainment industry has literally been turned completely upside down.
Yep.
With no travel, with no concerts, with basically nothing, no boat cruises. Our social life altogether is very limited. How has COVID directly affected your events this year?
Well, obviously, I mean, we have to follow the government guidelines. So we still send out newsletters. Having something like that with COVID, it doesn't even have to be an entertainment message. Just, hey, hope you and your family are safe. Have a great Mother's Day. So definitely with COVID, staying in touch with people,
yes,
even my WhatsApp list, you know, staying in touch with people is very important, because you don't want to lose that connection that you've built with them all these years.
For sure, for sure. Yeah. And now on that same topic of emails and social media, what social media platforms are crucial for your industry and why?
The three major ones: Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, definitely.
Okay. And that's where our listeners can connect with you online?
They can connect to me there. They can also connect to me. Like, everything has the email address and the contact and the phone number. The same phone number you can use WhatsApp. There's another outlet, right?
Right.
So anything, just if you go to Google and you type in DE and then Unstoppable, or DE Unstoppable DJ Navi, you'll find me, you'll find my son, the Unstoppable Junior.
Yep.
Well, anyone, you can, anything, just Google it.
Yep.
And I guarantee you it'll come up in the search. So you can connect to me on any platform. The only thing I don't have is TikTok.
Okay.
Yes. But anything else, go right ahead.
Sounds good. Now, on that same topic of social media and the internet, how do you think the internet has changed the game of doing events altogether?
With the internet, I'm DJing and you want to say, hey, where's Navi this weekend?
Right.
You come on my Instagram, you go on my Facebook,
yep.
Or you know, one of my channels, or YouTube, you'll see an ad. And, you know, so, I mean, even with the outreach, when you say the internet, I mean, instead of me printing, say, 100 flyers, now I have to meet 100 people and hand it to them as an example.
Right. Yes.
So the internet has become a very vital tool.
Now, you've been in the industry now for over 25 years. What keeps you motivated in the industry?
Music.
Okay.
Straight up music. I'm the biggest music fan. I have a tagline that I say to when people hire me for functions, I say to them, like, I believe in all types of music for all types of people, not just Caribbean artists. It's like 4 years ago, I got a 2-year contract for Jerkfest, and and being able to be, you know, broad with your selection, it's music. You know, the happiness you see from different types of people, it's quite the experience, you know.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, the happiness that you see from people, whether they're sober or drunk. And especially little kids too. I mean, when you're in a family function and you just see a little kid dancing and just having a blast, and sometimes I find these little kids, they want to take off their shoes and just enjoy it. And it's like, oh my God, go right ahead. It's just I tell everybody, music makes the world go round.
1,000% agreed with you on that.
Music. That's why I got into this record collection, to keep buying records. And this just didn't start here. This started when I was a kid in Guyana. Go figure. right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So this was, it's always been record collection coming up, but the bottom line, the roots of it all, music.
All right. Now, on the darker side of things in the music industry, is there anything about the industry that has rubbed you the wrong way that you would change? What would that be?
If I go into, if I'm in a nightclub and everybody's playing soca and reggae, whatever, I'm going to play some Bollywood or chutney just to be different, or some Latino, because I never know where my next job would be. But what bothers me, to answer your question, in the industry, in the darker side, is racism. And these are from our own people, some like majority of the time.
I believe it.
And I'd be like, but wait a minute. So when I'm playing soca, reggae, top 40 dance hits, Latino, you know, I'm playing R&B. So, you know, like if you like, I've had it where before I started Carnival in the Lake, I was on that same boat and it was a Guyanese function. And one of the main promoters told me he doesn't want no Indian. And I'm like, so what are you really trying to cater to? I don't get it. Because I'm going to play everything tonight.
Right.
And part of everything is going to be Indian. And so, like, I'm going to play your reggae. I'm going to play, yes, it's Caravana. You're going to play a little more soca.
Right.
I'm going to play everything. But how does that look on me? They're not going to blame you. They're going to blame me. He's like, no. And this is your own people. So racism in this industry, you know, I've had where I'm in a banquet hall and setting up for a wedding, and the owner of the banquet hall comes and says to me, oh, can you not play any black music tonight? I'm very straight up. I don't hide it.
Wow.
And I'm like, well, I'm sorry, but the client hired and gave me a playlist. What, you know, like, I understand you own the establishment, but what, did you discuss this with the client? No, right. I don't have to discuss it with the client. I own the place. I can tell them what I want, what I don't want.
The customer is paying the banquet hall lots and lots of money for their function. They're still trying to call the shots.
They're coming in. Yeah. And these Italian banquet halls in the Woodbridge area of Toronto, we have a big racial issue. I'm sorry. I'm not having this. But it's just that intimidation factor that, yeah, we don't want this type of music. And I'm like, are you serious? Like,
yeah.
So that's the dark side of the industry that a lot of DJs, with all due respect to my fellow DJs and promoters, don't talk about. Or if there's a fight in a party, and let's just say ending in the night, sometimes a DJ may be playing Bollywood music now as an example.
Okay.
The security want to blame the music for the fight. They're saying, oh, because you play Indian music, everybody gets hyper and then everybody wants to fight. Racism, it happens here and people don't talk about it. And I'm happy that you've given this platform that we can have a discussion on it. You see, a lot of guys try to sweep it under the rug because they don't want the embarrassment.
Right.
And it's not talked about. And some guys may say, hey, Navi, you're full of it, but this is the truth.
Well, I mean, it's public knowledge that 2 years ago, one of the largest shows in North America was shut down because, I mean, this is not a regular show. This is one of the largest, because I go to the largest shows from here to Miami and back, the largest concerts, largest fets. I am there. So I know, you know, how many people attends these types of events. And one of the largest shows in North America was shut down because of that very reason, with the issue of racism in Vaughan.
Yep. I mean, yes, it affected, you know, it made us look at things differently. And some people would say, oh, it just happened and move on. But then when, like, I've done my Caravana Sunday at, and I'll say it, when I did it at Bella Gardens 2 years ago, I got called into a meeting with the city, the Township of King. They wanted to have a meeting with their police, the township, the fire department. And I had a few partners and investors. We had to show up at 8:30 a.m. meeting in the morning. And we had to give them outlines of what kind of people and and how this is going to, if it's going to have an impact on their city. And it comes back to something, what I mentioned about the fire breather that took me 6 months to put that together. That
right.
Because we live in North America and this society does not, they're not familiar with these evolving cultures and what we're trying to bring. It's not like your typical Santa Claus parade and et cetera, et cetera, that people know what they're getting. These are new, these are things. And, you know, I understand it because I'm always calm. I always want to build those bridges, as I said earlier, but this is just a formality to turn you down.
Right.
Yeah. So it takes a toll on you mentally, but you just have to be strong and just keep going with it. But racism plays a very big part. And I think the saddest thing about the racism, I'd say 50% of it, and people may say I'm guessing, 50% of the racism I've encountered is from my own people.
Ouch.
Yeah.
And that's actually really unfortunate. If we ever want to evolve as people, we need to be working together hand in hand to empower and lift each other up. We cannot be tearing us down when we already have the rest of the world, first of all, not acknowledging us, and secondly, tearing us down as well.
Yep. Very well said.
And on that same topic, the concert, are you referring to Chutney in the Park?
No. It wasn't Chutney in the Park. We did our own. Chutney in the Park was at Bella.
Right.
And they moved to Power 8 Center.
Yes.
So the park was free. So then I went in with my other partners and investors to do my Chutney Summer Festival.
Oh, okay. And,
I mean, because of the fact that here the city is dealing with a new promoter, you know, they just didn't know, well, is it going to be the same event? Is it going to be different? What's your layout going to be? How's your operation? You know, how many portalettes? How's your fencing? Is everything licensed? Is your stage to code? You know, I can go on and on. How many police do you have? How many security do you have? What's your start time, your end time? Do you have a contingency plan? We even brought in to decide. I mean, it was going to happen anyways, but the city, I think where the deal breaker was and why the city relaxed, because me, I always believe in safety, especially family events. I actually hired an EMS service.
Okay.
So we had in medical emergency services on the grounds in case somebody get a heat stroke or, you know, old age, whatever, because that's a family-oriented event. And when I said that to the city that, look, we have all this in place, they finally granted us our permit. But it's just, once again, it's just, you know, you're doing these things, but how are you doing? Because let's be honest, they have been bad apples that made it bad for us. And now when you have guys that are coming in clean, you know, we have to go through everything from scratch. And you just keep with it because you know where the vision is and you know what your focus is and you know the end result is going to be. So you pray and the event went off with a hitch, didn't get an issue with the police, anything, nothing. It was perfect. We even fed them too.
Nice.
Their only complaint was the hot sauce was too hot.
Hey now. If that was the only complaint, again, you did something right, Navi, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. The hot sauce is too hot.
So then you did everything right based on that.
Yeah.
The hot sauce needs to be hot.
People don't know that all these things are in the background. They don't realize. Because, it's like I'm not. So just in my field and my trade, a lot of people in the general public don't know these things exist. And some of the headaches that we honestly counter and overcome.
For sure. Yeah. All right. Now, what advice would you give someone wanting a career in events or even wanting a career as a DJ?
Start small.
Okay.
You know, you need people to work with you or be alongside you to be successful. Start small, learn it. I've seen a lot of guys come and go because what they thought it is and what it really is when they get into it is two different things. So start small, you know, build it, watch it, maybe it is for you, maybe it's not for you, you know.
You at least had a chance to try it out, see what it's all about, and, you know, see if it's right for you or not.
Yes, definitely, 100%.
Okay. And now, on that same topic of failures, what are some of the common reasons that DJs typically fail in the industry?
DJs typically fail. And I'm also going to, when you say industry, I'm also going to put promoters in there.
Okay.
Because I want to be broad. I just don't want to label it to just DJs. I want to say the industry, DJs and promoters.
Sure.
I would say greed. I wouldn't like somebody to overcharge me, neither would you.
Right.
I mean, and then if somebody undercharges you now you may say good, but that may be bad because instead of bringing speakers to accommodate to 500 people, they may bring speakers that may only accommodate to 100 people. DJing, promoting, it's the same thing. If you don't know what your functions are, you can't charge accordingly. And now when I say promoters, now flipping over to that, a lot of DJs would become promoters or promoters that hiring DJs to be their party. What would happen is they would say, oh, I hired this big DJ or whatever or this big artist. So because of that, I can charge way, way more. And it's like, no, it doesn't work like that, right? I mean, you and I are also consumers too. We're customers.
Right.
Hey, I'm not going back to any of his events.
Right.
It can be my favorite artist. So on both sides of the DJing or promoting, greed is the root of, you know, the root of all evil.
And I do appreciate you being transparent about that because I was a little taken back when you said that because I mean, I'm a consumer, so I'm looking at a totally different angle. But you, as been in the industry for so long, you know it better than anyone.
Yeah.
Now, we touched upon the resources earlier that helped you become so successful, especially with your email list, very impressive email list of over 110,000. Yes, contacts. Are there any other resources you'd like to share with our listeners that helped you on your journey?
Yes. Now, years ago, you probably seen me walk around with a clipboard. And when I'm doing my events, because I'd have, like, you know, my ticket sheets and everything and my scheduling for my artists or even when I'm at a private function, I'd have on the clipboard, I would have the agenda that I would give the couple and the couple would get back to me with, like, their first song, their father-daughter dance and mother-son dance, you know, and all that.
Yeah.
And over the years, you'd see me with that clipboard. Now I've graduated. I'm not a Apple person. I'm more Android person. So I went to a Samsung tablet.
Okay.
Right. I say everything should be documented.
Right.
Documentation is the key. Everything has to be documented.
Yep.
And not only on the paper trail of it, the other thing too, when it comes to documentation, believe it or not, recording, before I used to walk with a little recorder and plug it into the mixer and record my sessions and listen back to it. Now you can do it on Serato. A lot of DJs use Serato program and it has a record key. So that is another way of documenting where you record. So if I want to know if I'm playing and I want to hear my mixes, am I still sharp on my mixes? On the art of DJing, you'd want, hey, how did that sound? Like,
now, with COVID being still so prevalent, do you have any upcoming projects, whether it be virtual projects, that you'd like our listeners to know about?
You know, I'm so glad you said that, virtual projects, because I still have all my records, by the way. I've never departed with my records. I even have, I don't know if you remember, but there was, back in the days when cassettes were being sold, they would have a cassette single. So on one side, it would have this radio version of the song. On the other side, it would have either the instrumental or the club version. So
I don't even remember that.
Yes, I still have cassette singles. So then I jumped into my records. I was reshuffling my records and say, okay, this is going to be soca and I'm going to go from old to new. And then I was looking at it and I go, you know what? I have a lot of music. And not just 25 years of music, but music before I even started. Like, I have Sugar Bowman record. I have Someone Loves You Honey on record. I have one drawn record. I have some old, like, actual albums on record, like Bollywood albums. And, you know, I'm I even have, like, La Isla Bonita by Madonna.
Oh, right? Wow.
Yeah. That was the second
one of my favorite songs of all time.
Yeah, I have that on record. And wow. That, not just a record. I have a 12-inch version, so it's like a full 12-inch.
Yeah.
And then I even have stuff like even old school music on 45s, like Head to Toe by Lisa and Carl Jam, which is old school.
Wow, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I was looking at all this and I said, you know, I have a lot of music and this music is just sitting here. And sometimes I hear this music, it reminds me of, well, you know, when I was a kid listening to, and now we're gonna go deep, listening to like English bands like Duran Duran and Pet Shop
Boys. Yes, yes. And,
yeah, and then you know, the newer pop artists like Debbie Gibson.
Oh yeah, Tiffany. Rick Astley.
Yeah, and then you're going to like the Motown eras with like the Kool and the Gangs and the Donna Summers, and you come up to like, you know, and then you look and you see you have all this good music from every genre. So one of the projects I've been meddling it with in my head, and I think I want to start putting out series, but just so that people can listen to, it's going to be like classic old school. And I want to put out the first one. It'll be like every couple months I put out a new mix. I don't want to put them out all one shot. I want to put out like a classic old school from every different genre.
Okay.
And I think for my birthday, which is October 2nd, that's when I'm going to release the first one. And there's even freestyle music, which you have artists like Stevie B, who is
yes.
And you see, there's so much music that people like, you know, we get so caught up, we don't get time. But if you can have it all in the mix that you can download on your USB. Or listen to it online from SoundCloud or Mixcloud. You know, I'm not trying to infringe copyrights. I'm not trying to sell nothing. Just here's a mix of my music to you. And these are songs that we go way back when we were kids, you know. And just so you can hear that stuff. Because honestly, music has changed.
Yep.
I think 50% of the music nowadays is very vulgar. Their lyrics, their everything. It's not like, you know, like, back in the days where, you know, you have Rick Astley singing Never Gonna Give You Up, Chris de Burgh singing Lady in Red, you know. I can go on and on with all the different genres and artists. And now some of the music is not the cleanest of cleans, right? But even there was clean hip-hop back in the days that we could listen to. But the point is, I just wanted to put out different genres because I have so much music that... Yeah, so that's going to be my virtual project and offer it to everybody and say, here you go. I'm grateful for another year of life and the love and the support.
Enjoy. Yep. Excellent. Yep. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it'll have
Especially that freestyle, too. Not going to lie, freestyle's always been one of my favorite genres growing up. So when you said Stevie B, you had me at Stevie B.
Noel, Little
Stevie. Yes, yes.
Yes, yes. And even stuff like I'm gonna tell you, like when people hear like a simple song like Whoop, There It Is.
Yes.
They go nuts. Or even the, you know, like when they hear like Rob Bass and DJ
Easy,
It Takes Two. The other day I'm a guy, I'm not ashamed to say it. The other day I was listening to Milli Vanilli.
Yes, love Milli Vanilli. Girl, you know it's true.
And I'm from the New Kids on the Block era before Backstreet Boys and all that. I was listening to that the other day on YouTube. I just let it, I typed in old school.
Yeah.
And I let it play one after the other. I'm like, oh my God, you know, thanks to YouTube, we also have that outlet. But it'd be nice to have it all in one mix.
Absolutely, for sure. And I'm, you know, this is the time that everyone is looking for connecting with others, connecting with music. They have the time, they're at home. So it's definitely something that people will enjoy and look forward to.
Yeah.
For sure.
You'll definitely get the link for it. I'll tell you that.
Perfect. Now, what's next for you, Navi?
You know, I'm a very big on family. And coming, you know, I like family events. That's my first forte, right? Okay. I just, you know, it's something I've grown up amongst and I've always wanted to do it. And I mean, I know you and I touch on a lot of things, but I'll tell you, one of the things that when we started this Caravan of Sunday family event, you know, we wanted to give people that real, I mean, Caravan of Sunday, let's be honest, 3 weeks later, 4 weeks later, it's school, then the weather changes. That's like Caravan of Weekend is like our last weekend. I know people say Labor Day weekend, but Labor Day, people are all in the school mode.
Right.
In September, they're not thinking, but at least with Caravana, that's like the last summer thing. So for me, you know, coming to the ending of knowing that, you know, summer 4 weeks away, it's going to change. I wanted to focus and build the Caravana Sunday, the Chutney Summer Festival, right?
Yep.
I wanted to build it. We did it in 2017, August 6th. We started it. And then we did it for 2 years. Last year, I stopped it. Well, I didn't really stop it, to be honest. In 2019, it was sabotaged, right? And I can say it straight up because our main artist and his management decided that they no longer want to perform for the, as they quote, the old tantine, the old uncle crowd. They felt they got too big. So they wanted to focus on the young soca markets. And they basically hijacked the event. They everything was ready to go and they jumped to another promoter and left us empty handed. So, you know, we didn't do it because if I can't do something properly, I'm not going to do it at all. And I'm not going to burn my bridges with the community. So that Caravan of Sunday, it really gave me, for the 2 years we did it, to see the families out there, to see them eating. Like we had guys that were, you know, boiling corn. We had guys that were selling like mitai and all these other things. And, you know, that's again, food, music, culture.
Yeah.
And it was so nice. Like I had a guy selling cotton candy and it's like, these are the things that we can't do on the family boat cruises or Carnival on the Lake. We can't do those to that extreme.
Right. Right.
So having people barbecuing, well, what we've done is we don't allow barbecues per se because of the fire hazards, but we have a vendor that is licensed through the city and he would come and barbecue and then you're smelling that barbecue and he's selling it, right?
Yeah.
So just that experience and to have the kids out there and the Caravan of Sunday is really something that I really took a liking to from my heart.
Okay.
And that's what I want to pursue when COVID is done.
Okay.
And I pray, as we all do, that it goes away.
That's
going to be the thing that I'm going to focus on, to build that Sunday and give families that experience and let them build those memories to say, hey, you know, Caravan of Sunday, we went out. This is where we're going. We put up a tent. You know, we had a food. We spread a sheet, lie down in the grass, you know, those kind of things.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that.
Okay, well, fingers crossed. We know this year is a bit of a wash, the way things are going, but we got to be hopeful for 2021. All we can do is be hopeful right now, right?
Yeah, it's very well said.
All right. And lastly, Navi, what message do you have your fans? Because, you know, you got a ton of fans listening out there.
You know, and that, just on what we touched about, I mean, given the times that we're living in, my honest message, and I can't believe that how life has changed for all of us in the last months. And the message I sent out there to everybody, I mean, I ask everyone to continue to practice all the proper procedures, stay safe. You know, I look forward to seeing everybody hopefully next year.
Yes.
You know, continue to, you know, keep God in our heart and we keep going with it. But just stay safe, stay alive, you know, don't become too comfortable. Right.
Right.
It's not worth it. Just that's my main message for what we're living in and we're living through. Stay safe because, you know, like I said, I want to see everybody out back. I want to be out back. Right.
Right.
I mean, we may not even get to do it next year because we don't know right?
That's actually the reality. The uncertainty, the fact that we don't really know, and it's literally going week by week, day by day right now, to really find out what we can and can't do. So it's really tough, especially for you guys who are the ones planning these events, throwing these massive, massive events, and you really don't even know where you really stand.
Yeah. It's, you know, what do? You know, you keep your fingers crossed.
Yes.
You know, you keep your faith in the Almighty, whatever religion you believe in. I actually did a post when I was coming back home and I was listening to some music. I put a post up and say, you know, just thankful for another day of life, and you know, just appreciate the finer things in life. I did that just this morning. Yeah. And it really makes you think differently. And I mean, a year ago, you and I would not be having this type of conversation.
No, we would not. We'd be so excited because 2 weeks from now, the best boat cruise happening in the six will be happening.
Yeah. And let me tell you, since last year, I was planning for the 10th anniversary, and it was going to be something totally different. I don't want to give it away because I'm hoping I can do it next year. But it was going to be another thing that I personally haven't seen done on a boat cruise.
Okay.
And, you know, there's just these little elements. And I was even going to move to the point where 10th anniversary, here's a collage of all the artists. Guess who the artists are going to be this year? I was going to just mix it up, be different, give back that appreciation, you know, and... all that planning, all that vision, that dream, I'm not going to say it's a total loss. I'll just say it's on hold for now to be
right
and keep our fingers crossed that we can go again next year safely.
Exactly. And I mean, that is the biggest concern right now, everyone's safety. And again, we can only take it one day at a time. They have breakthroughs. The vaccine's doing really good in the UK. So, I mean, we are getting one step closer to quote-unquote normalcy. So let's see what happens. We got to stay optimistic and praying for better days.
Well, I will tell you on a positive note from...
Yeah.
I hope I'm right. I got to say, regardless, Guyanese or Trinidadian, Jamaican, whatever, I got to give credit where it's due. Trinidad is practically down to zero COVID cases. So half
that's correct.
Count our blessings. Jamaica has the same amount of population as Miami, give or take a few thousands. Off, but Jamaica is pretty much down to like less than 20 cases. I saw that this morning in the news.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And they have the same population, give or take, like I said, a few thousand off of Miami. And they're down to that. So, you know, it's doable. I believe we all have to do our part. And that's it. You know, keep our fingers crossed and our prayers in our heart.
That's exactly it. Well, Navi, that was definitely very enlightening. I learned so much today, let me tell you. And you bring a ton of experience to the table. 25 years in DJing, events, lighting, literally the whole entire package. You encompass all of the above. And I absolutely love the fact that Your brand does everything. So when someone is looking, you know, for wedding services or for an event, for example, you provide the whole entire package.
Yeah.
And typically there's not a lot of that I personally know that does this. Most people do a specific thing. Okay, they're a DJ, or they handle the lighting, or they handle catering. They handle different aspects of the event planning system. But with you encompass the entire package. Yeah. And that definitely sets you apart from everybody else.
Thank you, my dear. Thank you.
Absolutely. And, you know, with the competitive aspect, I would say that is an amazing selling point for you in the industry because, again, not a lot of others are doing that from what I've seen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's change. And it is a lot. It is.
Yeah.
They don't know the story of how DJing paid for my schooling. Right. As I said, I quit my two part-time jobs and my DJing was on the weekend. That
right.
paid for schooling, my car, my insurance, my gas, my books, you know. And when I tell people that it's because I had that love for it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you really have to have a genuine love for it. And as it grows, you grow with it because you don't want to become, you know, stale and do the same thing. And it's
right.
been awesome. It's been awesome.
I mean, everyone's going to now hear your story, and I'm hoping that it will definitely inspire others out there. I definitely appreciate you taking the time. I know you're super busy, but it was amazing having you on my show and getting to know more about you and do. And again, prayers, fingers crossed,
yes.
that this whole COVID situation can just be under control, that we can get our lives back and we can go back to all the amazing things that, you know, you do for our entire community.
Oh, thank you. Yes, yes. And I think it's one thing we'll all walk away from COVID is, you know, a lot of people used to use the saying before, don't take life for granted. And
right.
I think after COVID is done, that's going to be the one thing I hope, I know I will walk away, is not taking life for granted. Because, I mean, look, we're last year we were here and now we're not.
Yeah, that's exactly it. This is the first year Caravana has been canceled since I've been live on this planet.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Just to put things in perspective, since I've been alive, I've never in my life ever seen that happen.
Yeah, well, it definitely is a lesson to learn. And yeah, prayers and thoughts with everybody and you as well, my dear. I mean, I wish
your
show the utmost success because
appreciate
it's really awesome to have such a platform and with you and having you behind it to push forward and get these out there. And yes, it's COVID. Yes, people are here. But now is a time that if people hear this,
mm-hmm.
then you hope they look at things a little differently and have an appreciation. So my thanks to you for all that you're doing, for the opportunity to be here with you today. My utmost thanks, love, and support to you.
Appreciate it, Navi. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Well, guys, that pretty much wraps up today's show. And appreciate everyone for tuning in. Hopefully, y'all will be tuning in next week's show. We'll be having my good friend, our very own Limer Boy. Big up Dolly Boy, everyone. So it's going to be another great show, and hopefully y'all will be tuning in. Thank you. Thank you. And again, Navi, thank you for joining us. And again, praying for better days to come, right?
You're very welcome. And thank you all to your listeners. And please share out the link. Let
yep.
everybody know about this awesome show. And thank you again for everything that you do, my dear.
Appreciate it.
You're jamming
Navi.
With the Unstoppable.
Come on. not from the boat. That's a chuck on me rich, she find the book, keep them broke. So she can't pay the whole house full of coke. Well, she wanted a pretty boy fella. I call them pretty boy fella. The woman said she wanted a pretty boy fella. Well, if it's that way, you don't want your shoulder say that. Yes, I'm a ganja planter. Call me the ganja farmer. Deep down in the earth where me put the ganja. Babylon, come on, light it up, fire me a chat. Yes, I'm a ganja planter. Call me the ganja farmer. Deep down in the earth where me put the ganja. Babylon, come on, light it up, fire. Big stinking helicopter flow through the air. Oh, with them call it sweet eater. Them never did them when me was toasting water. And when me did them flying fertilizer. Yet out of the sky them spitting fire. And that molecule you found with a hot temper. Me take up me stinking rocket launcher. And in all the air this with the helicopter me a chatting. Yes, I'm a ganja planter. Call me the ganja farmer. Deep down in the earth where me put the ganja. Babylon come, get you rocket.
Who like me, we tell them ball out, yes. Who like the local and they compress. A sense of me the rasta man a digest. Who sense of me the rapi run down in me chest. A chalice in the east and a chalice in the west. A chalice in the north and a chalice in the south.